Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we are indeed so thankful for this day that you've given us. Father, it's a bittersweet day to us. As Father, we bid farewell to a faithful friend, to a faithful disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a faithful husband. And Father, we are so thankful that our paths have crossed. Father, we appreciate the love that Brother David exhibited toward us and toward his church and his family over the years we've known him. But Father, he will be greatly missed. Father, we heard the news that Brother David had passed away. Our thoughts were, Father, he is in heaven now, singing victory in Jesus. Father, we're thankful for each and every person that's here today. And Father, we pray that as we go through this service, that your name is honored and glorified. Father, that comfort is brought to the hearts of their family. Lord, that we can see that, Lord, he is not here. That he took his last breath. Father, his first breath in heaven occurred. And he is in thy holy presence this day. Father, we ask that you be with Brother James and Brother Mickey as they conduct this service. Lord, be with the family. Lord, we thank you for each person that's here. Lord, watch over us, protect us, and guide us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Make sure you have a hymn book. If you don't have one, we'll make sure you get one. We're going to sing number 413 in the book. It's Victory in Jesus. I've been told. I was told to tell you. This was Brother David's favorite song. As my wife and I were coming here this morning, I don't think I ever was in a church service with Brother David. He didn't ask for this song to be sung. I was also told to tell each and every one of you to sing like you mean it. So we ask that you join us in singing Victory in Jesus. We will sing all three stanzas of number 413, Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old, old story, how Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and saw the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and loved me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my weeks ago, beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing, and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory!
This morning, though our hearts are broken, we can celebrate because there's victory in Jesus. Aren't you thankful for that crimson flood? When the Son of God came to earth to do exactly what he came for, He said, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And my Father's will is this: all He hath given me, I shall lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." You know, Paul said one time, "If I had hope in Christ in this life only, I would be of all men most miserable." I confess to you this morning, dear friends, that I'm not miserable. I believe with every part of my being that I'll see Brother David Batt again in the day of the resurrection. If I didn't believe that, sister, you know, I'd be miserable today. But we have hope beyond this existence, dear friends. And again, while our hearts are broken today, we are here to pay tribute to one of my heroes, Brother James mentioned here Wednesday night at our church services. Brother David Batt's the man all us men wish we could be. David Chamberlain Charmy Batt Jr. I asked Mr. Bobby last night, I said, "Where did that nickname Charmy come from anyway?" He said, "I don't know. That's how we called him as long as I can remember." And I said, "You think it had anything to do with Prince Charming?" Maybe it did. Brother David Chamberlain Charmy Batt Jr., 85, passed away peacefully on March 13th, 2019 at Southwest Mississippi Regional Medical Center, surrounded by his family that loved him dearly and that he loved dearly. Visitation, of course, was held last night at Hartman Jones, and funeral service this morning at Union Primitive Baptist Church. Visitation was 10 until the services started a moment ago with Elder Mickey Myers, Elder James Conley, and actually Elder Ricky Myers officiating. Burial will be in Topsail Baptist Church Cemetery near Ruth, Mississippi, just north of here. We've been asked to ask you to come back for a meal that will be served after we have the graveside service up at Topsail. Brother David was born on August 8, 1933, to David C. Batt Sr. and Vina Adelia Travis in California. He attended Carter's Creek High School in Pike County, Mississippi, where, believe it or not, he played on the basketball team. 6'4", 6'5", back in that era, he had to be an awesome presence on the court. And my dad was a graduate of Carter's Creek, as many of the former members of this church. I have yet, they probably are out there, but I have yet to meet a graduate of Carter's Creek High School that is not a good person. They may be out there, but I haven't met one yet. And if you know one, don't even tell me. Don't ruin it for me. He served in the United States Army and National Guard from 1954 to 1962. He worked for Goodyear and later for Kraft Metals. In retirement, he helped his younger brother John in his Macomb rental business for a short period of time. Brother David is survived by his wife, a loving wife of 13 years, Sister Eunice Eudora Matthews Bigner Batt, son Steve and his wife Angie, and Michael and his wife Shelley, stepsons Danny and Debbie, Richard and Misty, and David and Tracy Creel, stepdaughters Annie Ginn and John, Sally Brumfield, her husband Tom, Anita Evans, and her husband Jeff, brother Bobby Batt and his wife Miss Nan, who was my first connection to the Batt family. She taught at my elementary school down at Progress in the South Pike School District many years ago. 16 grandchildren, 18 great-grandchildren, one great-great-grandchild, and a host of nieces, nephews, and many special sons and daughters by choice, including Bill Seaton of Conroe, Texas. Brother David lived for many years in Holmesville and was a member and deacon of Holmesville Baptist Church. In later years, he became a member here at Union Primitive Baptist Church, where he enjoyed the Sunday sermons, regular potluck dinners, the annual meetings, and fellowship with all Christians. Brother David enjoyed working in the yard, gardening, and spending time with his large family. He often said he was blessed by such a large family. He was preceded in death by his parents and by wives Alice Elizabeth Greer and Emma Allen Creel, brothers John and Henry Batt, and a son, Mark Batt. Family members like to express heartfelt thanks to all friends and family that have helped and have kept them in their thoughts and prayers during this difficult time. The pallbearers today will be David Creel, Rodney Holder, Richard Creel, Jess Greer, Swain Brent, and Robbie Dillon. Honorary pallbearers will be Danny Creel and Greg Greer. This morning, my comments, I've been blessed to speak at many funerals during my ministerial life, and many of them from my family, many from my church, many from my school and community. And today I'll probably step outside Scripture, in a sense, more than I ever have before, in making comments about Brother David. But everything is connected to Scripture. If I give you any good advice, it's rooted in God's holy word. I can assure you of that. This Matthews family, what a blessed family it is. Their parents were Uncle Leon and Aunt Dolly Matthews, just saints in Israel, I can tell you. They were just wonderful people, and young folks, I caution you to be very careful in marriage. We've lost a lot in my generation from the previous generation. This family married well. Brother Charles was married to Sister Gladys, and now Aunt Neva. Aunt Christine had Brother Darwin Alexander, just a godly man of integrity. Isn't it a blessing when you don't have to go outside your living room to find a role model? You can look at Mama or Daddy. Brother Aubrey, Leon, first Sister Lily, and now Miss Jackie. And I think Linda Sue, well, the jury's still out on that one. But we love him. We love him and thank God for him. And I hope I didn't leave anybody out. But one thing you young people started to tell you is to observe, you young ladies, observe a man, how he treats his mother. Because if you marry him, that's how he's going to treat you. This morning, I want to go back to my childhood from in my high school years. I didn't go to Carter's Creek. I went to West Lincoln. Brother Ricky will tell you, he was in that class. We had a... It's amazing what this world thinks a man is. In the shop, in our ag classes, we had an anvil. I have no idea how much that anvil weighed, but when you're ninth grade in agriculture, they call you a green hand. And we'd like to see who could lift that anvil, you know, kind of curl the anvil, you know. And our teacher told us, said, you boys got things out of order. Said, Y'all think being a man is if you can lift the anvil. And it began kind of a joke around with the boys in my class, and we'd tell each other, being able to lift the anvil don't make you a man, son. I got told that many times and told others that many times. But I think about Julius Caesar, something I learned from William Shakespeare when I was in high school. From Julius Caesar, I think it's the fifth act. There's a quote in there that says, "His life was gentle, and the elements so mixed in him that nature might stand up and say to all the world, this was a man." You hear me this morning? His life was gentle, and the elements so mixed in him that nature might stand up and say to all the world, this was a man. This was a man right here. Big hands. A big heart. A kind word for everybody. It didn't cost us anything to be kind to each other. To treat each other with respect. You know, I mentioned Julius Caesar. He yesterday, I guess, would have been the 2063rd anniversary of his death. The Ides of March in 44 B.C. Yesterday would have been the 51st birthday of my beautiful bride, but she passed away at 35. Friends, there's a step between us and death, and we don't know when we'll take that step. David told us that. Brother David had an aneurysm for several years, and we knew that he could take that step at any time. But I thank God this morning that he spared Brother David's life for many years after that diagnosis to make an impression upon young servants like Brother James, Brother Ricky, me, the members of this church, the members of this family. What an example we've had set before us. You know, I quote to you too this morning something else I learned in high school. Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote, Brother Nelson Bigner passed away when he was 56 years of age. Brother Nelson Bigner was a good man, too. I didn't mention Sister Eudora in the Matthews family earlier, but what a good man Brother Nelson Bigner was. And came home from work, ate supper, and sat in a recliner and died of a massive heart attack. I still remember that, and what a loss it was to this community and being such a good carpenter and such a good man. Sister Eudora didn't get married for about 15 years, I think, and then Brother David came along. Brother Danny Creel told me last night that 2005 was a bad year for him. He lost his wife, his mother, and Katrina was all in the same year. And after he lost his wife and mother, who was at that time was Brother David's wife, Brother David said, Brother Danny said they went and ate everywhere. They went to Natchez, Vicksburg, every good restaurant within, 100-mile radius of Macomb. They went and dined there. And then all of a sudden, Brother David met Yank Eudora. And Brother Danny said he got kicked to the curb. I don't blame him. Sister Eudora is grace personified. What an example. But you know, from Alfred Lord Tennyson, from In Memoriam, A-A-A-H-H, it says, "I hope 'tis true, whatever befall. I feel it when I sorrow most. 'Tis better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all." Amen. You know, the thing that I read this morning from Julius Caesar and Alfred Lord Tennyson, it's not from God's holy word, but yet it is. It is. It's the better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. I want to read this in closing this morning. Think about Brother David. This is the Southern Gentleman. There are 10 rules for the Southern Gentleman. And every man on the set of my voice could take this to heart. Chivalry, sometimes I think chivalry's dead, but it doesn't need to be. I've said yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, to people that were a little younger than me, and They said, don't say ma'am to me. I said, oh, yes, I am. I said, my mama said that yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am was not contingent upon age. Had nothing to do with that, but everything to do with respect. A Southern gentleman never makes himself the center of attention. His goal is to make life easier, not for himself, but for his friends, his acquaintances, and the world at large. A Southern gentleman follows proper etiquette in every situation, such as holding an umbrella for a lady or an elderly person. He makes sure they don't get wet, even if he does. Southern gentlemen, good manners, courtesy, and respect are extended to everybody, regardless if you know the person or not. The fourth rule for a Southern gentleman, sir and ma'am are used consistently and is not contingent upon age. This applied to Brother David for sure. The Southern gentleman loves real food and never forgets to compliment the cook. A Southern gentleman takes his hat off when he comes inside. He gives up his seat when necessary and gives his date his coat when she is cold. The seventh one, an exemplary work ethic and integrity are always readily apparent. The eighth one, this applied to Brother David as well. A Southern gentleman has a solid, firm handshake and makes good eye contact. The ninth one, the Southern gentleman is a man of his word. When he says yes, he means it. And when he says I do, it's forever. And the tenth rule for a Southern gentleman, he acknowledges the fount of every blessing at all times and forsakes not the assembly of the saints. Oh, I'm going to read from Scripture. I don't ever want to get out here to Primitive Baptist Church and say, you know, that minister sitting up here, he didn't read one thing from Scripture. I trust everything I said today connected to God's holy word. Because, you know, when the Lord left this earth, he told his disciples that I leave you with a new commandment, that you love one another. We need to practice that. We need to put that in, as a part of our everyday life. But probably my favorite verse in Scripture, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And as He brings all the nations before Him, He's going to put His children on His right, those that will face perdition on the left. And here's what we're going to hear at the last day. Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you came unto me. They asked him and said, Lord, when did we do those things unto you? And his answer was this, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. This was a caring, kind, gentle man that I love very dearly. And I'm going to try to emulate the way he lived, the way he treated people. You know, that I will close with this. We're going to sing another song in just a minute. I want you to listen to the words of the last two stanzas of this song. How great thou art. We're going to sing it in just a moment. I want you to sing it like you did Victory in Jesus, like you meant it. Listen to the third verse. And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then the fourth verse, when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Brother David Batt understood that we have a great God. It was reflected in his life. And I encourage every one of us under the sound of my voice to consider his lifestyle, the way he interacted with other people, and emulate the example that was laid before us, set before us. You sons, thank you for sharing your daddy with us. Yeah, I was like one of his sons. He treated me such. And matter of fact, one of the things I love about Brother David the most is almost every time he saw me here at church. Good morning, young man. I don't hear that much anymore. Somebody needs to take Brother David's place and say to me, good morning, young man. I'd love to hear it. If not, I'm going to rehearse what Brother David said to me. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this morning. That old country music song, Who's Gonna Fill Their Shoes? That's a big shoes to fill, literally and figuratively right there, friends. But what a great man. I thank God that I was able to walk with him for a little while as a brother in Christ. And I long to see him again in the day of the resurrection when the Son of Man comes back in his glory and all those holy angels with him. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this morning.
I'd like to thank everyone for that wonderful singing. These songs were very special to Brother David, and he called them out often, as has already been mentioned. And I remember Brother Wayne Myers was here, and we would sing 413. Brother Wayne would say, Brother David Batt must be here. And I just picture in my mind that when Brother David entered heaven's pure world, that Brother Wayne said that again. Brother David Batt must be here. But we are so thankful to all of you who have come to remember the life of Brother David. He preached his own funeral with the life that he lived. And certainly the example that he set, if I had to tell you what an ideal church member looks like, I don't have to look any further than Brother David Batt. He read and studied his Bible. He prayed to the Lord often. And while he was able to, I'd see him at church meetings that were going on all over the local area. And he'd always encourage you after the service. He was always positive. I never heard him say anything negative, ugly. Never heard him to complain. Just a picture of a godly man is the life that we see in Brother David. And as I always do in trying to preach at a funeral, I pray that the Lord will lead me to a text that would be appropriate for the life of the one that we are here to remember. And I'd like to call your attention to 1 Peter chapter 3 and trust that the Lord is leading me to this verse and thinking about Brother David. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. In this text, we see the Lord telling us how to be a husband. It says, husbands are to dwell with them according to knowledge. When it says them, it means the wife. You know, I hear a lot of men say, well, I just can't understand women. Well, if you're married, it's not your job to understand women. It's your job to understand one woman. If you're going to dwell with your wife according to knowledge, you need to know her. And understand her. Get to know her. Know what she likes, what she dislikes, and know her preferences. Brother David had so much love in his heart, the Lord blessed him to be married to three wives. And each one of his wives, my understanding is, he loved them and treated them with the kind of care and compassion as this text says. It says, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. What that expression means is when you take a fine china, a fragile something, you treat it with delicate care. And that's the way the husband is to treat his wife. Treat her in a delicate, fragile way. Treat her as if, you've got to be as gentle as possible. I heard that Brother David's first wife had Alzheimer's. And we were reflecting on his life here Wednesday night. And some remembered he would lead her by the hand, just in the store. Just lead her by the hand. Last memory I have of Brother David, it was raining and he pulled his car into that awning and dropped Sister Eudora off and went and parked the car and tried to run inside. He made sure she didn't get wet, just like Brother Mickey said. He made sure she was taken care of, even if he had to get wet. Brother David dwelt with his wife according to knowledge and gave honor to her and treated her with that kind of love that we should see in every husband. Because we should see this, because the Bible says in Ephesians 5 that husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We see in a picture of a marriage, a picture of Jesus Christ and his bride. If you want people to see the Lord, they need to see you acting like the Lord. If you're going to be one who directs people's minds to see a picture of Jesus Christ, Brother David did that. The way he treated his wife, he was a beautiful picture. If you want to see the way Jesus is with his bride, look no further than Brother David Batten, the kind of husband he was. We are called upon to reflect the Lord in our life. The Bible tells us to let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. He's the light of the world. The Lord has given us light. And others should see our light in the kind of life that we live. The Bible also tells us in Matthew 5 that we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? If we're the salt of the earth, what does that mean, we're the salt of the earth? The Bible tells us in Colossians 4, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. In that text, it defines salt as grace, that you speak with grace, and that's seasoned with salt. If we're the salt of the earth, that means we should be a gracious people, giving people better than what they deserve. Isn't that what the Lord's done with us? He's been gracious to us. We don't deserve the blessings we have in this life. And I'll tell you, I don't deserve the way Brother David treated me. He treated me with grace. If you want to see an example of someone letting their light shine, an example of the salt of the earth, Brother David was the salt of the earth. It says, giving honor to the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. What a wonderful blessing it is in marriage to not just be husband and wife, to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Brother David and Sister Eudora enjoyed this blessing. They were not only husband and wife, they were brother and sisters here in the church. That's a great blessing that you have. Because when you have that blessing, as he says here, that your prayers be not hindered. You can pray together. You can worship together. You can read and study your Bibles together. What a wonderful home you have when you're brothers and sisters, heirs together of the grace of life. That your prayers be not hindered. You know, Brother David, we all have been talking about his prayer. When he prayed here at church, he'd say, "Here we are again. Here we are again." We're always going to remember that about him. Here we are again. Every time we come to church, here we are again, beggars again at mercy's door, praying that the Lord would rain manna down from on high. Here we are again. He was what I would call a prayer warrior. I heard that expression when I was younger. I don't hear it a whole lot today. Maybe we're not praying enough. But he was a prayer warrior. He would persevere in prayer. He would pray. You could tell he was a man of prayer. And I tell you what, it's hard to be a pastor of a church and to preach before God's people. But when you have people like Brother David praying for you, that job gets a whole lot easier. The Lord hears the prayers of a righteous man. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, the Bible says. I believe the Lord heard his prayers. And if he's praying for me, oh, what comfort I draw from something like that. He was a man of prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 6 tells us something else about Brother David. I remember when we'd be in the lunchroom, and some of the things that Brother Mickey read are just so appropriate to Brother David. He was not desiring the center of attention. He never seemed to be craving attention. He was quite content to sit in one of those old pews, just sit there and just watch the people of God. He, to me, is a picture of contentment. You know, we'll never be satisfied with this life. We'll never be happy with ourselves. We'll never be happy with our circumstances. You'll never be satisfied in this life. But what you can be is content. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says this in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. I'm going to tell you, Brother David, I don't know how much money he had in the bank. It's none of my business. But I'm going to tell you, he was a rich man in this life because he was a godly man with contentment. He is a man, when you say godly, that means they act like God. They think like God. They speak like God graciously and the way they go about in kindness. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are things that bother Brother David. There are things that, you know, sin and wickedness, it bothers the child of God to live in this life. But I'll tell you what he did about it and what we can do about it. He prayed. He prayed. I think about how Brother David is a picture of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ prayed. There's a song in our songbook that says, "He prayed. From the manger to the cross, not a moment's time was lost. He prayed. He prayed unto the Father every day. He prayed." You know, we get busy in this life, but no one could claim to be any busier than Jesus Christ, can they? Of all the stuff that he had to do, all the work he had before him, he was busy. He had multitudes coming to him, wanting to be healed, wanting him to preach the gospel. He was busy. And yet, he found time to pray. He made time to pray. The Bible says in several places he prayed all night. All night. He prayed. Brother David was a godly man. He walked this life like Jesus Christ. And he was content. He made the best of what he had. That's what contentment is. Content. He made the best of his life. And he was content with what he had. And oh, he had so much. Boy, what an example. It's hard to lose men like Brother David Batt. I'm thankful this morning to know where he is. I'm thankful. I draw great comfort and strength in knowing that he's finally face to face with the God that he worshipped and served so much. He's now face to face with him. I envy him this morning, but it's a great loss for us. It's a great gain for him, but a great loss for us. Great loss for this church. Great loss for Sister Eudora. Great loss for family and friends of him. It's our loss, but it's his gain. And I never want to take that away from him. But I'm thankful for the time we had with him and the fond memories we have and the wonderful example that he set for us. And may the Lord help us to be more like Brother David. Because if we are, we are more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God's called on us to follow in His footsteps. And may the Lord help us to do that. You bow in your own way, we'll try to lead you in a word of prayer.
Our most heavenly Father, Lord, we come before Thee this morning. And although our hearts are broken at the loss of Brother David, we rejoice this morning in knowing he's in Thy presence right now. And Lord, we thank Thee for that comforting knowledge. But we thank Thee for the life that Brother David left and the example that he gave us and how he was such a man of God, a warrior, and how he fought against the sin that so easily besets us, and he fought against all those things and was able to be a man of peace and righteousness. Lord, we thank Thee for that wonderful blessing. We're thankful that his sufferings are over. But we ask Thee to help us in the days to come to honor his memory by living lives that are pleasing and honoring in Thy sight. Help us to be more like Brother David. Help us to be better people, better husbands, better fathers, better church members, better servants to Thee. Lord, we ask Thee to guide our footsteps and lead us and be with this family and bless them and comfort them in their time of loss. And may we always remember the life that Brother David lived, and may it help lead us and guide us closer towards that straight and narrow way that Thou hast called on us to walk. And Lord, we ask Thee to dismiss us now and be with us the remainder of this service and the time we are able to spend together. And all these things we ask in the precious name of Thy darling Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we say, Amen.
I want to sing Amazing Grace, number 154. Amazing Grace. We'll sing the first, second, and third verse. And for the fourth, we'll sing When We've Been There 10,000 Years.
Mm-hmm.